Sechnishmas Avimori Yaakov Niso Pilchas is Sechnishmas Daniel Hashem about Yeshua Falak. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Shore. It's always good to see you from far and from near. Thank you all for coming this morning to share some Divrei Torah together. Please feel free to turn on your cameras so we could see each other if you feel comfortable doing so. I'd love to get to see everybody. You know, it's hard enough giving shiur on Zoom as it is, but when we see each other, it's much better. So anyone who could do that, that would be great. And feel free to, you know, to ask questions, because that makes the shiur so much more interesting. When we get to see each other, we get to talk, we have a maso matan, so it's always good to hear what other people have to say on these matters. Okay, so we are now, I guess, in the summer mode of things. Parshas Korach, at the end we'll try to say some Divrei Agada on Parshas Korach and how it turns into, relates to Shabbos, etc. And we know that people have a practice. I'm very careful when I use the word minhag or not, because there's a question whether this is even called a minhag. But there's a practice that people make early Shabbos in this time of year. I know I'm always of the opinion I like late Shabbos. I can make late Shabbos the whole year. My wife likes early Shabbos, so we made a pshara that up to Shavuos, including Shavuos, we have the late Shabbos. And then after Shavuos, we make the early Shabbos. And that's the our compromise. Okay, now. There is a mitzvah in the Torah to be mosif mikodesh halachol, which means that it's never a good idea to accept Shabbos at the buzzer, so to speak. You know, you're supposed to be mosif. You're supposed to accept Shabbos earlier than the zman that of when Shabbos is. We assume that once it's Shkia, that became our practice in America, even in Israel, that Shkia, once it's sunset, then we don't do any malacha anymore. We don't turn on the lights. We don't do anything. So sunset is the cutoff point when we say this is Shabbos. So technically speaking, you know, you could accept Shabbos, you know, right at the buzzer. So Rashi says in Parshas Bereishis that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that. Vayichal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i, Rashi writes in Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do malacha in his creation up to the very, you know, what we say, to the buzzer. And he won't go over. But B'nai Adam are not so meticulous. So for us, Rashi writes, we should accept Shabbos earlier. That's how Rashi explains the idea of accepting Shabbos early. That's a practical thing. That if you're not going to accept Shabbos early, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to come to be Mechal Shabbos. You'll come to do malacha even past the buzzer. So, and that'll be a question of Chil Shabbos. So it's always so. Therefore, a mitzvah to be mosif mechol hakodesh. That's the whole year round, and built in to this mitzvah is what women have the practice to light Shabbos candles, say in America, like 18 minutes before sunset, and then they don't do malacha anymore. And then they have it sort of built into their system that they're going to accept accept Shabbos early. Even though, technically speaking, you know, the old practice, you have to realize, it's so interesting, so how Tom sometimes, how Psak Halacha evolves. But really, the old practice was that lighting Shabbos candles had nothing to do with Kabbalah, accepting Shabbos. Nothing to do. Lighting Shabbos candles, the simple pshat is that lighting Shabbos candles is what? Is just honoring the Shabbos. You know, you know, when you go to a fancy restaurant, Lahavdil, they have, you know, the ambiance. You have nice candles and things like that. That's what one Rav compared the Neira Shabbos to. Or just practically, you know, just to be able to see better or something like that. But it wasn't necessarily accepting Shabbos. And therefore, you know what the Ramban says? Again, we don't follow this halacha, but just understand what used to be, is that on Shabbos Chanukah, so what do you light first, the Shabbos candles or the Chanukah candles? So the Ramban says, of course you light the Shabbos candles first. Why? Because Tadir, v'she'eino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Which is more common? Which comes more often, Shabbos or Chanukah? Of course, Shabbos is more. So therefore, Shabbos comes first, Shabbos candles first, then the Chanukah candles. So what changed? The opinion of the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, from the Gaonim, and his opinion was that lighting Shabbos candles means also, not only you're honoring the Shabbos, but you're accepting the Shabbos. You're accepting the Shabbos. And therefore, if that's the case, then of course you can't light Chanukah candles after that. So then it switched. Then it switched. But it's so interesting how the original practice was not what we assume today. The original practice was that lighting the candles was just honoring the Shabbos and not necessarily what? Accepting the Shabbos. But the Bahag was the one. That opinion changed the world. Just like the Bahag by Sfiras HaOmer. You know, this is a new thing, that if you miss one day, you're out. You know, every kid who goes to elementary school, that's the first thing he's taught, right? Sfiras HaOmer, you miss one day, you're out, right? It's always a challenge with my, you know, the kids, make sure they do it every day. You know, and at the end, they feel, you know, you feel a sense of accomplishment that you made it. You know, I always, when I get to the 49th Sfira. But who said such a thing? The Rambam says there's no such thing. But the Bahag said it. Quoted in Tosus and Menachas. Baal Halachas Gedolos. Bahag stands for Baal Halachas Gedolos. He said this idea, that if you miss one day, you're out. Because it's Tamimos, but it wasn't necessarily the main psak. But that became accepted in Shulchan Aruch. So it's interesting that certain things became accepted. So there is therefore the women, going back, the women have this idea that that when they accept Shabbos candles, they're accepting Shabbos. When they light Shabbos candles, they're accepting Shabbos. What about therefore they have built in to get the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. But what about the men? So the men have two possibilities. There is a discussion in the poskim whether Kabbalah Shabbos has to be verbalized. Do you have to say, I'm accepting Shabbos, or the Ritva Shita is, it's not only just verbalizing, you have to either daven Shmon Esrei of Shabbos, or you have to what? You have to say Kiddush. You have to have a very specific declaration that it's Shabbos. And you have to do that before Shkia to accept. In other words, the mitzvah is, once it's Shkia, once it's sunset, then it's Shabbos. In other words, there's no idea that if you don't accept Shabbos, Shabbos is not here. Once Shkia comes, once sunset comes, whether you accepted it or you didn't accept it, that's it. It's Shabbos. The concept of accepting Shabbos is if you want to accept it before the time, and even according to the other opinions that there's a mitzvah to accept it early. So some say there has to be a verbal declaration, but others disagree. Other poskim say that no, the mere fact that you abstained from doing malacha, you got the mitzvah, even if you didn't make any formal declaration. And that is a valid opinion as well. So that is the mitzvah of the year round. It's interesting that the Rambam doesn't have this as a mitzvah, the idea of accepting Shabbos early. But yet, he says, you can make Kiddush before sunset. And the Rambam explains, and Rav Shalty explains, the idea being, because Kiddush, it's sort of like Hadlakas Neiros. The old practice was, before the Behag, that Hadlakas Neiros was just honoring the Shabbos by lighting the candles that you're going to be using for Shabbos. So thing by Kiddush. Kiddush was not necessarily accepting Shabbos either. There is an opinion of the Ritva that you dafka have to accept with Kiddush. But others disagree and say, no, Kiddush is just ushering in the Shabbos, welcoming the Shabbos, but not accepting the Shabbos. Just like Hadlakas Neiros. The original practice was that Hadlakas Neiros was not accepting the Shabbos. It was just ushering in the Shabbos, preparing for the Shabbos. Same thing by Kiddush. In fact, there's a very fascinating discussion in the poskim whether some people, you know, have relatives or friends. I used to be a big visitor of the nursing homes in the nursing home in Washington Heights. Before COVID, I tried to go once a week. I had certain people I used to visit. Unfortunately, many of them passed away over this tekufa. But it was a very satisfying thing to visit people. You know, hopefully one day when things get better, the nursing homes will be open to having visitors come like they used to be. But some people, for their family member or not, would go on Friday afternoon before they accepted Shabbos, make Kiddush for their relative, whoever it was, and then drive back home. And the question is that a proper thing? Because maybe, so if you assume that making Kiddush is accepting Shabbos, so then how you're not going to be able to drive back home? You'll be stranded. But if you say no, that some want to say that no, that the way the Lashon HaRambam is, that Kiddush is just marking the fact that Shabbos is coming, but not necessarily accepting Shabbos. So according to that opinion, some want to say that that would be permissible to do, to go ahead and make Kiddush, you know, for whoever, and then get in the car and drive home. Now, we mentioned the Behag's opinion that when you light the candles, you're accepting Shabbos, not like the old practice of the Ramban that lighting the candles was not accepting Shabbos. But we also hold that even according to the Behag, that it's accepting Shabbos if one verbally declares that he doesn't want to, she or she doesn't want to accept Shabbos with the lighting of the candles because she still has some other things to do. She could make a verbal declaration that she's not accepting Shabbos. She's just lighting the candles in honor of Shabbos, to be used on Shabbos, to be benefited on Shabbos, but not to accept Shabbos. And again, the old practice was that was pashut. You didn't even have to state that. You just light the candles. Lighting candles has nothing to do with Kabbalah Shabbos. Just like Kiddush might not have anything to do with Kabbalah Shabbos, according to the Rambam. So, but certainly, if there's a tzorech, if there's a need, then, not necessarily just stam to do it, but if there's a need, that they still need to do some malacha, or they will need to go to get into a taxi or something like that, and they're going to walk home later, whatever it is, they could verbalize that they're not accepting Shabbos with this hadlaka. In fact, there's a whole discussion about how, men usually go to shul Friday night, and there's opinions that say that when they daven Shmon Esrei, they yotzei Kiddush with the Shmon Esrei, because they're speaking about Shabbos, and the idea that they're going to make Kiddush later on the wine, that maybe is only the Rabbanim. But women, a lot of times, don't go to shul Friday night. So some say that the Yotze, the Imre Yosher of Me'arik, says that the Yotze Kiddush when they light the Shabbos candles. And they speak about the greatness of Shabbos. So the question is, where exactly do they speak about the greatness of Shabbos and lighting Shabbos candles? They just say, Mekadeh Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. So it's interesting, I thought of an idea. This year, we were learning these halachas, I thought of an idea, and again, it's the minig of the Arizal, the minig Chabad. I'm not telling you to change your minig if this is not your minig, but it's something just interesting to know, that the minig of Chabad and the minig of the Arizal, and maybe some others have this minig, is what? To say the nusach, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos Kodesh. Not lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos Kodesh. This way you're praising the Shabbos, and the Rambam says, to be Yotze Kiddush, it's not enough to mention Shabbos, you have to praise the Shabbos. So when you say lahadlik ner shel Shabbos Kodesh, he's saying, oh, Shabbos is Kodesh, and that's perhaps a way that even the women, even if they didn't go to shul, were a Yotze, a mitzvah of Kiddush, it's interesting. The Rashba says that even though when Chazal made brachas up, they have a specific formula to make bracha, to say the brachas. But the Rashba says, and again, I don't recommend you doing this, but I'll tell you what he says. I'll share it with you if you promise that you're not going to follow it. And that is, the Rashba says that you are allowed to add words to, you're allowed to add words to a bracha. In other words, a bracha is these are the minimum words, but you could add words. Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva about this. I remember the first time I was ever Masada Kedushin for my Talmud, Rabbi Ben Skaidel. It was the first time I was Masada Kedushin. So the Rav who had the bracha achrisa was from a Sephardic congregation. So what do they say in some congregations? And what? No, anyone? Any Sephardim here? It's a nice way of ending. So what's this umatzliach thing? It's nice, but who gives you a right to... But this became an old tradition in certain communities. Umatzliach. So Rav Avadi Yosef said, yeah, it's part of this idea of the Rashba, that one could add words. But again, I'm not a fan that we should, if there's an old minhag to do so, in that particular, if you're from that tradition, that you say, Mesamech Chosin Mekala U'matzliach, then go ahead and do it. But I'm just afraid that things will just become a hefker, that if everyone just decides to add words and this, so it's not, but this was the minhag Arizal, Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos Kodesh, not just Shabbos. And this way, someone to point out, and someone wrote in the Yagdil Torah Journal that makes it a Daraisa, because you can't just mention Shabbos, you have to praise the Shabbos, etc. Now, this idea that in the summer months, all of a sudden, we're making early Shabbos, and we're making super early Shabbos, So I was very careful to say that it's not a minhag. It's a convenience, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein writes like that. It's a convenience. It's not a minhag. What difference does it make whether I consider it a minhag or a convenience? People are doing it. I told you, I personally would like to make the late Shabbos the whole year. But my wife is right. For the kids and everything, it's not easy to make, to have to come in the house at 9:30 at night and first, make Kiddush or later than that, who knows. But it's, Rav Moshe says it's not a minhag. And the difference is like this. The Tashbetz writes that when a husband and wife get married, the wife is supposed to follow the minhagim of the husband. It's like when the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Psachim, if you go from one city to another city, and you're planning to go back to your old city, so you still keep your old minhagim. But if you're planning now to live in the new location, and they have different minhagim than the old location, so now you take on the new minhagim. Right? So hopefully when you get married, your wife is coming into your domain, and hopefully she's not going back. She's, Bez Hashem, be a good marriage, you stay together, so she takes on the husband's menhagim. So therefore, the question is, if the husband accepted Shabbos early, does the wife have to make sure that she accepts Shabbos when the husband does? So there's a whole discussion, but some poskim, Rav Abadi speaks about this, and Rav Moshe, some poskim hold that not, because this is not following the husband's minhagim. This is not a minhag. A minhag, you're doing something for halachic reasons, like the Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys. There was a reason in halacha. They were afraid there was a chashash chametz, etc. So minhag Ashkenaz is not to eat kidneys on Pesach for halachic reason. But if you're not doing it for halachic reasons, you're just doing it, it's a convenience. Haraya, when it's going to be the winter months, when it's not going to be so convenient to make Shabbos so early, then you're not going to do it, obviously. So it's a convenience. I'm not criticizing anyone who does it. It's practical, etc. But that doesn't give it... Minhag doesn't mean anything you do is a minhag. You understand? If the minhag that's for halachic reasons, like Rav Shecht has mentioned, so then Rav Shalvechik, so then that's considered a minhag, and therefore you have to do it. Like some people don't eat kibroks on a Pesach. There were reasons of chashash chometz, etc. Even though Meikar and Din were not worried, but there were halachic concerns. Here, this is not halachic concerns. This is, a minhag. So if the wife still has to do some malacha, Friday everything is crunch time, things get very, so she could still do malacha. Obviously she can't do it past Shkia, and of course if she lit the candles and had kavana to accept Shabbos, then she accepts Shabbos. But if he already was makabel Shabbos in his early minyan, then she doesn't have to say, I have to know on my clock, when did my husband say Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos? Or when did he say L'chadodi, etc.? Because I can't know. You don't have to be so, many poskim hold, you don't have to be so exacting, because L'maisa, it's not really a minig, and therefore the halacha that the wife follows the husband's minhag is not applicable over here. And this, and the same thing, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, if the kehila accepts Shabbos early, so then everyone has to accept Shabbos early. So that means there are certain places that there's one shul in it's not like today. Today everyone, you have this 10 shuls on the block and four more shkibels and this, so it's not a whole cohesive kehila. So then, that wouldn't necessarily apply. So the question is, if the kehila accepted, like there's one shul in the whole neighborhood, and everyone, you know, goes to that, like in certain maybe Hasidic communities where there's a concept of a kehillah, etc., and they accepted Shabbos early, then they're part of that kehillah, so everyone has to accept Shabbos early, even if they didn't necessarily want to, they have to accept Shabbos. So the poskim write, or Moshe discussed it, Rambam discussed it, the poskim say that, again, that only applies if they're doing it because they want to do it for the mitzvah. They're not just doing it for convenience purposes. And since today we're doing it primarily for convenience purposes, so then we would not have that same halacha, just like the husband-wife situation would not have the same thing. Now, today, the old practice used to be, in many communities, they would and some still have this, they would have a 7 o'clock mincha, right? The old 7 o'clock. And so this gets into a halachic discussion of what's called Tarti Desasri, when there are different opinions. What's the cutoff point between mincha and ma'arif? Is the cutoff point plag mincha, which is an hour and a quarter before shkia? So mincha has to be before that, and ma'ariv could be after that, or is it shkia is the cutoff point? So if you're going to daven mincha after plag mincha, then you're assuming that's still day, but you're going to daven ma'ariv before shkia, then you're contradicting yourself, because you're accepting the cutoff point from mincha for one standard, and the cutoff point from ma'ariv for the other standard. So some have now, they're super early, early Shabbos, you know, like 6:15, 6:30, they're already making early Shabbos, which sometimes is, you know, early is convenient, but too early is also not, you know, so some insist they go on to that minyan. I'm of the opinion that that you don't have to go. You could even go to the 7 o'clock and daven mincha ma'ariv, even though it could be a tardi sasri. Some poskim hold that if you mekabel Shabbos between mincha and ma'ariv, so that makes it not a tardi sasri, because the Vilna Gaon says, this is how some poskim explain, that the Mishnah says, tefilas erev ein la keva. So what does it mean, ein la keva? It doesn't have any set time. Ma'ariv doesn't have a set time. What does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon explains that whenever it's not Zman Mincha anymore, by default, you can daven Ma'ariv. So some are of the opinion, based on that Vilna Gaon, that if you mekabel Shabbos, so you can't daven Mincha anymore, because once you mekabel Shabbos, you can't daven Mincha anymore. So Mamela, but you could daven Ma'ariv, and you wouldn't have to worry about that opinion. My friend Rabbi Yaakov Hoffman has the shul in Washington Heights, the Bridge Shul, and he has a different way of calculating, because, you see, Plag Mincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia only if you hold like the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. But if you hold the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, then it's an hour and a quarter before Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore if you're going to daven the super early Plag Mincha, that's going to be before even the Plag Mincha of Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Tefilas Ma'ariv will be a Bracha Levatola, because you're diving too early. Because, in other words, we assume, according to most poskim, that you can't accept Shabbos before Plag Mincha, which is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's an hour and a quarter before Tzeis HaKachovim, his Tzeis HaKachovim. So the different opinions, how early... There is one opinion that maybe you could even be mekabel a little bit before Plag Mincha, but we normally assume not that way. So Rabbi Hoffman is of a concern that if you go into the super early, you might be davening Ma'ariv too early, unless you only follow the Gra, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Tam. But that, you know, requires a much longer deliberation. So then we have time here, unless we have three more hours to have here on this year. But assuming not like that, you can go into YU Torah. I gave a whole year's worth of shiurim on these topics, so you could do it at your convenience. So some people dafka like the early, what we call the plag early, and some have the 7 o'clock or 7:15-ish, and I think the Yesh HaMith Lismoch for both opinions. Because sometimes, you know, in halacha there could be different shitas, and the more well versed you are in halacha, the more you understand different opinions. Some people, if you're not well versed, then some people just have to be machmir because they're not well versed, and some people are not tolerant because they're not well versed. So it's a lot of different issues come up with not being well versed. But it's always good to say l'charav if you feel, you know, you need guidance in these halachas. And then, of course, we have the Suda Shabbos afterwards. And so then, obviously, if you're making Shabbos early, then the Suda is going to be early as well. So some say that you should have another kezias when it's dark, so if possible, another kezias of bread later, if you could. Then, of course, you have to say Kriya Shema Bizman. And then it becomes a question, because really you're not supposed to start a meal when you're within a half an hour of the Zman Kriya Shema, and you didn't. So sometimes if you could dive in the early minyan, so then you didn't, you don't say Kriya Shema, and then you get home, you're starting the meal within a half an hour of the Zman Kriya Shema, and then that maybe wouldn't be proper. So some want to say, well, I was Yotze, the first Tosas in Shas says that the Zman for Kriya Shema is not Seis HaKachovim. The Zman for Kriya Shema is Plag HaMincha. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. But the Pashup Shat, the way some Rabbanim hold, is that he only said that according to his Plag Mincha, which is a later Plag Mincha than the Vilna Gaon's Plag Mincha. The Vilna Gaon never said this, that you can be able to say Kriya Shema, because the Vilna Gaon's Plag Mincha is earlier. Plag Mincha is usually, as Rav Shechter once pointed out from the Shagas Aryeh, the Tosas Shita is that Kriya Shema is only the Rabbanim, because usually the concept of a Plag Mincha is by a Din the Rabbanim. Like, for example, if a person needs to light Hanukkah candles a little bit earlier, like Rav Tzinner once said from Rav Moshe Feinstein, he told him he could light a little bit earlier, had to go someplace, or things like that. So these, to review, there's a mitzvah to be mosif al chol al kodesh. So in the summer months, everyone seems to jump on the wagon. That's why it's not even considered a minhag, because it's not even really considered something that we're doing al halacha. And minhagim has to do with halacha. I'll tell you one interesting point I heard once from Rav Yitzchak Abari Shlita, that when a husband and wife get married, and he's Sephardi, she's Ashkenazi, or vice versa. So one of the hardest things it would be to ask one spouse to change their Nusach HaTfilah. You know, like if you're so used to a Nusach HaTfilah, you don't want to change. If somebody would put an Eidos Mizrach sitter in front of me, I don't know what I would do, you know. You know, it's not, or vice versa. So the Rabbi thought that the husband and wife could keep their Nusach HaTfilah, because that's not a question of Isser V'Heter. In other words, it's not like Kitnius. It's a question of whether something's Mutter or something's Usser. This is your Nusach, that's your Nusach. As long as there are agreement, and as long as it's not going to cause confusion with the kids, you know, if that, it's not, that's not something that has to be, that the wife has to follow the husband. Especially, I remember once a woman called me, she married a Sephardi, and she said, Yamim Naraim, I'm gonna, you know, she's about to, whatever, you know. You know, so that I thought that that's okay. That's a halachic thing, but it's not Isser V'Heter. You know, like, no one says this nusach is mutter and this nusach is osser. It's not a question, it's just different nuschos. It's not a question of Isser V'Heter. Therefore, Rav Abadi pointed out that they wouldn't have to follow the husband's minhag. And then we discussed what are lighting candles, what is that, is Kabbalah Shabbos, or is that, and the same thing by Kiddush, is that a Kabbalah Shabbos? We discussed going to a nursing home and riding back, etc. So these are some of the interesting ideas about being Mekabel Shabbos early, and realizing what's considered convenience, what's a minhag, and how things go in that place. Okay, just to end off with some Milei D'Agada. the Zohar HaKadosh, the way that it's brought down to Tefer Shloima, the Lechem Shloima, the different Zohar, says Korach was Cholik al HaShabbos. Korach, we know Korach, he was Cholik al Moshe, but the Zohar seems to say he was Cholik on Shabbos. What does it mean Korach was Cholik al Shabbos? What was he arguing on Shabbos? So the idea brought down into Tefer Shloima, the Lechem Shloima, or Shloima Zalman, or Aaron quotes, that this is the idea. What did Korach say? Kula Eda Kulam Kedoshim. Everyone's holy. So why do you need Moshe and Aaron to be the leaders? Everyone, all the Yidden, we're all holy people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, no. That he feels it's very important in the structure of the community, and the structure of Yadus, that there should be one leader that is leading the people. And not just say, kula, it's true, kula eidam kulam kedoshim. But it's important to have a leader, and it's very important, I'll tell you something that the Meshech Chochma writes, a very important point. He writes it in Parshas Chukas, so don't look at it for, in Parshas Korach, you're not going to find it. Even though it has to do with Korach, it's in Parshas Chukas. He says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu, we never find that Moshe Rabbeinu initiated miracles. In other words, Hashem wanted the sea to be split. Hashem says to Moshe, take your stick and lift it up. In other words, Hashem initiates and Moshe follows. Yoshua, we see Shemesh B'Givon Dom. He stopped the sun. That wasn't on the initiation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why Moshe Rabbeinu not initiating miracles? And others less than Moshe Rabbeinu did initiate miracles? Says the Meshech Chochma, because Moshe Rabbeinu is on the highest Madrega. The Zohar says, the Shechina, Medaberes Mitoch Grono. When he opened his mouth, it was like God, it was God speaking. He was on such a Madrega. So you know what? Moshe thought that if people would start initiating miracles, if he would start initiating miracles, since he knew he was on such a high Madrega, you know what the next thing would be? Hero worship. They would say, he's God. He's God. Hero worship. And that's very dangerous. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very careful. They should respect him. They zichro toras Moshe, but they shouldn't worship him. And therefore, he was never initiated a miracle. Only one time he initiated a miracle. You know when that was? Parshas Korach. The idea of splitting of the earth. That Hashem didn't say, take your thing and take your matah and split the earth. He did it on his own. What's the idea the Meshech Chochma explains? Because there, the people were saying that Moshe is an imposter. He's taking everything for himself. So there was no chashash that they were going to worship him. Anything, they were trying to undermine his whole authority and undermine everything about him. So he wasn't afraid. So in that situation, he initiated a miracle. But getting back, what does it mean that Korach was cholek al Shabbos? You know what it means, says the Tefer Shloma and the Lechem Shloma says? Because Shabbos proves that there's one day that stands out. Chemdas Hayomim. Hashem wanted that it shouldn't be 7 days and all 7 days are equal. The Shabbos is Chemdas Hayomim. It's the choice of the days. And the Zohar says all the bracha that you get from the whole week emanates from the previous Shabbos. Kol brachasu le'elo otasu miyom hashvi talyan. That's why Chafetz Chaim said, and I would say, why do you have to end Shabbos, rushing to end Shabbos? If Shabbos is the generator of bracha, the longer the Shabbos, the more bracha you're going to get for the future week. Don't rush it out. So he says, Korach, but Korach's whole notion was, no, you don't need that leader. You don't need that one day that sticks out. You don't need that one person that sticks out. But that was the Korach Cholek al Shabbos. But on the same hand, we have to be very careful that we our leaders are guides, but we don't worship. We don't worship people. We don't believe in hero worship. We believe in respect and kavod chachamim. But to know, to make the differentiation between kavod chachamim and respect and hero worship. And that's something very, very important. And Korach was cholek on the whole idea of Shabbos, meaning because kol ha'idam kulo kedoshim. So too, the whole week is every day is significant. So why should there be one day standing out? No. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is the one leader, so Shabbos is the one day. And we believe, and that's a healthy way of keeping the community together, in a healthy, not a fragmented way, but a healthy way for Klal Yisrael to service HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, obviously, the leader is just the conduit to give us guidance on serving Hashem in the proper way, and not losing sight, because there's a lot of times people lose sight of that, and that becomes confusion and things like that. So, Rabosai, when we're beginning the summer months, so it's a wonderful opportunity for growth, wonderful opportunity for learning, and the wonderful opportunity to keep Shabbos in a proper way. So we should think about some of these halachas, and it's always a pleasure to. This is the first time I gave a kol Yom Rishon, Midrasha Yom Rishon on Zoom, so I guess that's good. But hopefully, I'd much rather see everyone in person. I guess Zoom. The only advantage of Zoom is you can have people who are all over the world together. But okay, but we try to have both. Mizeh mizeh al tanach yadecha. You should all be well. You should all have healthy, safe summers, and you should be with gezunt and simcha. And we thank Rabbi Shor for calling me to invite me to speak. It's good I don't get to see Rabbi Shor. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't always see each other the way we used to see each other, so it's good to see him as well. And thank you all for coming, and you should all be gesund, and have a very healthy, productive summers for all of you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Simon. That was really so special. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. We'll see you again next Sunday. We'll be having a program next Sunday morning. Again, please, this Wednesday evening, whytorah.org/aging, a great program with ProCap School of Psychology. I wish you have a great week, and be healthy, be well. We'll see you again next Sunday. All the best.